Now watch. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now stop. Okay. Now wait till I turn it off.
Hello? They all work.
Yeah. You want
that
one? Can.
Testing, 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 testing.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong button on the microphone. I take pleasure in opening the Inner West Planning Panel meeting held in Council Chambers, Leichhardt, Town Hall, Norton Street, Leichhardt, on the 17th of April 2018.
That's better.
I need to advise people before we start that in accordance with the requirements of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, the Inner West Planning Panel meeting is being audio recorded and will be uploaded to the Council's website for public viewing. By speaking at a panel meeting, members of the public agree to being recorded and must ensure their speech to the panel and others is respectful and uses appropriate language. A person who uses defamatory, discriminatory, or offensive language may be exposed to liability for which Council and the Inner West Planning Panel takes no responsibility. Any part of this meeting that is held in closed session will not be recorded. I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal and the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders past and present. I'm the designated chairman of this meeting. My name is Kevin Hoffman. My experience in the past has been 14 years as a commissioner of the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales. Prior to that, I was in private practice in an architect and town planning practice for about 8 years. Before that, I was chief town planner of a sub-region of New South Wales for 12 years. I'm both an architect and a town planner. And since retirement from the Land and Environment Court, I have been a member of some five different independent assessment panels, such as the Inner West Planning Panel. I'd like to introduce the other members of the panel. I'll ask each of them to describe their experience so that you have the benefit of knowing the expertise that is available to the panel. I'd also emphasise that we are independent of the council, and we're appointed because of our independence and our ability to deal with these applications in an objective way. On my right is Mr. Ken Hawke. He's the community representative. Ken, would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm the community rep, as the chair has just mentioned. I've lived in the Inner West for 45 years, and I've worked in as a local government planner at the City of Sydney Council, South Sydney and Marrickville Councils for nearly 40 years. My last position was as the Director of Planning and Environmental Services at Marrickville Council.
Thank you, Ken. And on my immediate left is Ms. Lindsay Day.
Good afternoon. I am a practicing town planner. I have my own consultancy. I have more than 35 years experience in all sectors of town planning, which includes state and local government as well as the private sector. I have degrees in geography, natural resources and town and country planning, and as well as being a member of the Inner West panel, I'm a member of the Lane Cove and Bayside planning panels.
On my far left is Ms. Annalise Tor.
Good afternoon. My experience, very briefly, is I have degrees in architecture and planning, and I'm a nationally accredited mediator. My most recent permanent position, was as a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court for 14 years. I'm on this panel and quite a few other local planning panels, and also I'm a member of the Independent Planning Commission.
Thank you. Now, I call for declaration of any pecuniary interests and non-pecuniary interests by the members of the panel. Are there any interests to declare?
No.
Thank you. There are no interests to declare, and therefore we'll proceed to the meeting agenda. There are six items on the agenda, as I recall. And we'll go through them in order. The first is development application 2017-694 at number 10 Red Lion Street, Roselle, alterations and additions to an existing terrace. The applicant was a Ms. M. Stepik. The owner is Ms. M. Stepik, and I believe Ms. Stepik has sought to address the panel. Now, if you'd come forward to the chair in the centre there, Ms. Stepik, you might have to bend the microphone down. And then you'll see there's two buttons on it, and I think if it's the same as mine, the larger one on the right, you press down when you wish to speak.
Oh, thank you.
But be seated if you'd like.
Okay.
Thank you. We give each person addressing the panel 3 minutes.
Okay. So I won't need that much time.
Right, okay. You'll hear a bell. You'll be good practice for the others then.
I will, okay.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm actually the owner of 10 Red Lion Street, Roselle. I met all of you this morning, so thank you for coming to the property. Basically, all I want to do is really restore this beautiful heritage home. It's only tiny, as you know, and really take the back section to the modern era to make the amenities a bit more easier to deal with. That's all I need to say, really.
Thank you, Ms. Stepik. Now, did the panel have any questions of Ms. Stepik?
Are you happy with the conditions of in the planning officer's report? Do you have any comments on those? It's not ideal, but I understand it's a heritage listed property, so I understand there will be conditions involved in that property.
Any other questions of Ms. Stepik?
No.
Thank you.
Will I hand down the decision? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I might say that the panel did visit the site today, and we noted that there were no objections to this application, so that's why there's no one else wishing to address the panel. We've read the council officer's report, and we agree with its provisions, and therefore the panel is happy to proceed to a decision. The conclusion is the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. The recommendations of the panel and the decision of the panel are: A, the variations to clause 4.3 capital A in brackets 3 in brackets lower A, soft landscaping, and clause 4.3 capital A in brackets 3 in brackets B, site coverage of Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 is supported under the provisions of clause 4.6 exceptions to development standards, and B, that as the consent authority pursuant to 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, consent is granted to development application number D/2017/694 for alterations additions to the existing terrace at 10 Red Lion Street, Rozelle, New South Wales 2039, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below. Now, attachment A below goes on for something like 15 pages, so I'm not going to read all of those. They will form part of the panel's decision. Thank you, Ms. Stepping.
Thank you for your time.
Very good.
So, just a quick question, sorry. With this approval, how long will it take for the actual DA approval to be?
What, for consent to issue?
Yes.
Perhaps the council staff can answer that.
Okay. Okay.
Did you hear that by the end of the week?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. Now, the panel had discussed this prior to the meeting, but I should ask the panel to vote, and I trust that we've reached consensus.
We have.
So it's a unanimous decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We can now go to the next item. Item 2, which is development application 2017-650. For 115 Beattie Street, Balmain, a new carport structure and associated access to the rear of the site. The applicant is Hugh Slater and Associates, and the owner is Mr. A. Polifroni. Now, we don't have anybody listed for this matter either wishing to speak. And I take it there's nobody in the audience who's seeking to speak on the matter. Thank you. Well, I can probably proceed to decision on that, hopefully, again, with the agreement of the panel. Does the panel agree?
Agreed.
On the recommendation? Thank you. The panel has unanimously voted in agreement with the council's recommendations. The conclusion of the panel is the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. The recommendation and decision of the panel is: A, the variations to clause 4.3 capital A in brackets 3 in brackets A landscape area and clause 4.3 in capital A in brackets 3 in brackets B site coverage of Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 be supported under the provisions of clause 4.6 exceptions to development standards, and B, that as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. Consent is granted to development application number D/2017/650 for a new carport structure and associated access to the rear of the site at 115 Beattie Street, Balmain, New South Wales 2041, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A. Thank you. That deals with item 3 of the agenda. Two. That was item 2. Yes, thank you. I turned the page. We can now proceed to item 3. And item 3 is development application 2018/97, number 332 A Young Street, Annandale, and its construction of a single garage to the rear of a site known as 332 A Young Street and associated works. The applicant was Chapman Planning, and the owner was Mr. F.M. Kane and Mrs. E.B. Kane. Now, I don't have anybody listed on this matter either to address the panel. And I can advise that, as with the other matters before us today, we have visited the site and seen where the development is proposed, and we've read the reports in the agenda. And I asked the panel to vote on whether or not it agrees with the recommendations.
Agreed.
Agree.
Thank you. Once again, the decision of the panel is unanimous. And it is that the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. And the recommendation and decision of the panel is A, the variation to clause 4.3 A in brackets 3 in brackets A landscape area and 4.3 A in brackets 3 in brackets B site coverage and 4.4 floor space ratio of Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 be supported under the provisions of clause 4.6 exceptions to development standards. And B, as the consent authority pursuant to 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, consent is granted to development application number D/2018/97 for construction of a single garage to the rear of a site known as 332 A Young Street and associated works at the same address in Annandale, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below. And thus, dealing with that matter, I can proceed to item 4. Now, item 4 is DA 2017-00579, 68 Railway Street, Petersham, and it's proposed to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground, first and second floor additions and alterations to a dwelling house. It's a terrace house, and construct a new roller door with brick strands and hard stand at the rear. The applicant is Brad Inwood Architects. The owner is MVB Proprietary Limited. Mark Portalucci, Director. Now, I don't have anybody listed on... Do I? I'm looking here, where? Brad Inwood. I'm sorry, this must be a later one. Yes, we do. Mr. Brad Inwood, are you present? If you'd come to the counter, please. Thank you. Yes, if you wouldn't.
Yep. Good afternoon. Yeah, I haven't really got much to say because we're generally happy with the recommendation in its current form that's been done by council. I'm only here hopefully to just answer any questions or queries that you've got. But as you probably saw today, it's an old type terrace house. It hasn't really been renovated. I think the kitchen's probably put in the 50s and nothing else has been done since then. And the idea is just to sort of bring it up to a modern house, but at the same time maintain that historical character along the front facade there, which you probably saw as being an enclosed veranda, and basically, you know, make it much more appealing to the streetscape. As you probably know with the report, we are over the height limit, and we put in a 4.6 variation for that. All that, as you probably know, is to do with the skillion dormer behind. That's still below the ridge height, and there's other houses in a similar type, skillion-type dormer along that row. There's, you know, about 10 terraces in that section. Not every house has got it, but some of them have, including the house next door. And there also is that small rear addition at the back, which basically is to have a living room in there and have some nice windows that sort of interact with the backyard to make the house much more suitable for modern living. And we've dropped that, as you probably noticed with the plans, we've dropped that at a much lower level just to minimise the impacts and negate any issues with the adjoining properties. But as you probably saw today, some of the other houses in that row have similar type rear additions that have been done over the years. So, like I said, we're happy with the report, and if you've got any queries, I'm happy to answer them, or any concerns you've got, address them.
Do panel members have any questions?
Not from me.
I have a question. Your plan proposes a new dormer window on the street side of the roof. Now, your terrace house is in a row of five. Four of them, including yours, do not have a dormer window on the street face. And it is a fairly uniform block of terraces. Particularly after you have done your renovations, it will look even more authentic and uniform. We noted the previously approved dormer window on the fifth terrace house. But we did not like the style of it. It isn't in the true Victorian style of the rest of the terrace house, and it is the only dormer window in that row of five. We realise your proposed dormer window on the drawings, it looks as though it's the same as that one, and we wouldn't like to see that repeated. And in fact, the panel, having regard to the integrity of the row of terraces and the streetscape, are of a mind to delete that, and as recommended in the council's report. You'll accept that condition?
Yeah, we've already accepted that and submitted revised plans with that deleted anyway. So I thought that was actually resolved about a month ago, actually. But we're happy not to the dormer. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
That being the case, I think the panel's in agreement. Yes. So it's another unanimous decision. Having visited the site and read the council reports, the panel has decided that the variation to clause 4.3, height of buildings, for the Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011 is supported under the provisions of clause 4.6, exceptions to development standards. And further, that as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, consent is granted to development application number 20170003 to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground first and second floor alterations and additions to a dwelling house and construct a new roller door with brick surrounds and hardstand at the rear, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A to the report. Thank you, Mr. Inwood. Now, the next matter is possibly going to be longer than the previous ones because I have a number of people registered to speak. The next item is item 5, DA 2003-00504.01, 68 the Boulevard Lewisham, and it's proposed to modify condition 3 of determination number 2003-00504, dated the 3rd of June 2004, under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, so as to increase the student numbers from 1,200 to 1,350 students. The applicant is the Christian Brothers High School, and the owner is the trustees of the Christian Brothers. Now, the number of people we have here, I have listed first to speak is Matt McCarthy, traffic engineer, PO Box 66, Sutherland. Are you representing the applicant or the objectors, Mr. McCarthy?
I'm the danger on the planner. Matt is to my left. Yes.
Yes, that's correct. But you're listed to speak first, but I think it's reasonable that you speak after you've heard from the other persons. Is the panel happy with that?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So now we have also listed, and I presume he would come afterwards, Mr. Frank Chiment, acting principal. You here, Mr. Chiman? Thank you. We'll call you in due course. And then Brett Daintree, you're the consultant planner who stood up earlier. Thank you. So the first of the local concerned residents I have listed is Jenny Beattie, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Did you wish to speak? Thank you. Now, you're of 54 Victoria Street, Lewisham, are you? Okay. Thank you. We have 3 minutes normally allocated. Now, we have one other local resident who wished to show a...
video.
A computer video of...
That's right.
Traffic conditions.
Yep.
I see you've got a computer.
I have. Yeah.
Is that the same video that we've been asked?
It is the same.
To?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I have footage just from
out
the front of my house, and that's not the same thing.
All right. So they're separate. All right. Well, now, if you wish the panel to observe them, we're prepared to come down and look at that.
Or I can just bring this up to you. Yeah. Whatever you prefer.
What would you prefer? So. Yes, we'll go down because then the people behind you possibly see it too, okay?
Sure.
Is it best if we see it now or after you've spoken?
Probably now's fine. Yeah.
Now?
Yep, it's very short. It's like a minute, so...
Okay, well, we'll move down to where you are.
Thank you.
We can shift the side because we've seen it. In the line.
Okay. So it's basically a minute of kind of regular traffic flow around the area on a regular school week. This was taken last week, actually, which was still probably not a high week in terms of students because it was coming up to school holidays.
Which street is that on?
This is actually on Tootool and Denison.
Right.
And this is the crossing that's really concerning because there's buses and cars, as you can see, they're coming in at the same time. You've got students behind there. There's a couple of near misses. This dad's obviously concerned, as you can see, with his language afterwards to his son. He was basically saying, watch out for this crossing. You've got cars you know, beeping, you've got cars coming across the crossing itself. This is a common occurrence. And when you've got the issues with visibility, you've really got a problem because crossings are safe havens for children and the elderly in the area. So this is just a typical day. Obviously today when the site was inspected, it looked very, very different to today.
Are those buses turning from Tootill into Denison?
That's correct. And they come up this way and they also come down that way. So you've got buses coming in and then coming to the left and coming across from the right. Mm-hmm. And the visibility for the students of the school as well as the residents is very difficult. So that's the very quick 1 minute video, and then I'll go into the topic.
Thank you.
Okay, now, do you have anything more to say?
That was my video presentation. So I am now actually reading out a submission by Brian Mann, who gave permission to me via email, and it was approved to read out his submission today.
I see he's listed to speak. He's not.
No, I'm speaking.
Speak.
He was unwell, so I'm speaking on his behalf. He did notify the council of that this morning.
Well, I'll give you his 3 minutes.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Key points. Number one, traffic assessment. This is simple. You need to equate the traffic study and intersection analysis to the number of people who attended school on the day the data was gathered if you are to draw meaningful conclusions. The current traffic report represents a traffic survey as have been undertaken on the 27th of July 2016, a full school attendance day, whereas the data was in fact gathered on the 10th of August 2016, when accordingly to the school's own web calendar, up to 20% of attendees were not on campus. And this is detailed in his submission from a range of people on camps to other events that day. The fact today the panel had site inspections in school holidays is also the equivalent of inspecting a nightclub for noise offences on a Monday at 2 p.m. It's a simple fix. We need to ask an independent expert to make the assessment. Parking, number two. Council policy requires 78 car parking spaces on site for staff, and yet the school only provides 18 and is not proposing to increase this number. The parking study that council rely on is based on data collected on a single day. In effect, this is a single data point. Any statistician will tell you you can't base a conclusion on a single data point. Parking needs vary depending on the school calendar, and the survey needs to capture a range of typical school days in order for it to be meaningful and so that it can be relied upon. Once again, an independent expert can make this assessment. The final section is conditions of approval. This is an applicant who has already knowingly breached its development applications regarding enrolment numbers and failed to notify council on this breach. Any conditions need to be backed by the power of independent audit in order to ensure enforcement, at least until such time that compliance can be assured. The proposed use of teachers to manage the traffic in high-vis vests in a high-risk traffic environment, which you have currently seen on video, is not good enough and possibly contrary to WHS legislation. We should be insisting on traffic management company or more qualified staff. Likewise, we should be prohibiting students from driving to school and parking in surrounding streets unless absolutely necessary. It's no longer a rite of passage for a 17-year-old to be able to drive to school. This is clearly not the 1970s. And the school has an abysmal record of community consultation. We would not be here today if we had been consulted. Why not change this? Make any approval conditional on the establishment of a community consultation committee with members from the student body, parents, staff, council, local community and police. Let's bring this school into our community instead of it being an outsider. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Don't stand up yet. We might have questions.
Sure.
Any questions from the panel? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Now, the next person I have listed is Amelia Lawson of 156 Denison Road.
Hello.
Hello. Please be seated.
Hi, and thank you for your time. I speak from two perspectives. One is as the representative of the Denison Road Group. I've lived on Denison Road for 7 years, and I was shocked and appalled when I first moved in with the amount of traffic, the volume of traffic streaming down in front of my front door. Since that point in time, I've worked closely with council to try and reduce that traffic, and a lot of the traffic is streaming towards the Christian Brothers School. The 7 years we're still working to get so much as a right of way to slow the traffic and to discourage the parents of the students of the school to drop their kids at the front gate. And I think that is what for many residents is the issue, in that we have great public transport in the area. We've got the light rail, we've got the heavy rail, and we've got buses, but there is a very high ratio of students who are actually driven to school. So my first concern is the traffic that the increased number of students will bring into the area. And at the moment, the data is telling us that we're already at the level of environmental sustainability, which means that within a two-hour window in the morning and a two-hour window in the afternoon, that amount of traffic is actually taking us beyond what is deemed to be reasonable for a residential area. As you would be aware of, there are a number of developments happening in the area as well, which are exacerbating the problem. That's something we have little control over. But what I would like to think we've got some control over is applications such as this, which, as was mentioned by the previous speaker, there is a very little sense that the students and the parents of the school are actually connected to the community. The second perspective I'd like to put before you is as a parent of a six-year-old child who goes to Lewisham Primary. It is the poor cousin of the Christian Brothers School. You cannot drive your child to Lewisham because the traffic is so bad. It banks up down the boulevard, down Eltham, and down Denison Road. When walking, as you saw in that video, it is chaotic, unpleasant, and dangerous. My daughter Lottie asked me when she'd be old enough to walk herself to school, and the answer is, given the traffic at the moment and the manner of driving, she will never be able to walk to school because it's simply too dangerous. And I put before you that any increase in the number of students will bring an increase in the amount of traffic, and we are absolutely at capacity. Thank you.
Just a moment, there may be questions.
Mm-hmm.
I had one. Which part of Denison Road are you in?
I'm 156, so between Davis and Eltham. And apparently,
right,
according to the data, it's one of the heaviest stretches in terms of traffic.
Okay. So you're to the south of the school?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. The next person listed is George Giannaros. Giannaros? Did I say that correctly? Giannaros? Of 19 Eltham Street, Dulwich Hill. No? All right, so I beg your pardon? Well, we'll have to deal with that when it comes up. I'll just put him as not present. Next one is Tracy Hayden of Apartment 7, number 105, the Boulevard. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My daughter is an attendee of Lewisham Public School.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been a previous secretary of Lewisham Public Schools, PNC,
yeah,
where we have had many discussions in regards to the boulevard, and particularly pushing through the council to approve a zebra crossing so our children are a little bit safer in the morning.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, even with the zebra crossing, we are having the same issues that we had prior to that, where parents are doing U-turns And this is not just Lewisham Public School, this is also Christian Brothers, where parents are double parking, and where us Lewisham parents who are growing in school. So when we started in 2015, we had 137 students. This year we have 200 and something students. Our principal has noted that we will probably not be able to accept out-of-area students within the next 2 to 3 years because we will be at capacity. In that capacity, it's been changes in school zoning and the area. So a lot of the new units are coming into our school. And this is wonderful for our school. It's amazing because it means we'll get more funding. But the danger that we have is getting our children to school safely is becoming harder and harder. I drop my daughter off at 8:15 Monday to Friday, and it can take me 25 minutes to do the 600 metres to school.
Good grief.
And it's 600 metres. Now, I would walk her, but I need to get to work by 9 o'clock, so I'm not able to do that. It is ridiculous. They are double parking on Eltham Street. They are double parking on the boulevard. And I will not drop my daughter off on the left-hand side on Christian Brothers, even though that's easier, because I'm too scared for her to cross the zebra crossing herself. Mm-hmm. And she's 8. So I drive around down New Canterbury Road and then down the boulevard and let her out there. I then drive down, turn right onto Eltham, turn right onto Denison, and have to then cross Tootill and go up and around up to Petersham Public School. And that intersection there is extraordinarily scary. I can't see past a bus. I can't see to get across. If it wasn't for other drivers being kind enough to toot their horn, I would not be able to cross Tootill Street. Mm-hmm. There was an accident Wednesday last week, or the week before, on Tootill Street at the first zebra crossing closest to Old Canterbury Road. A car ran up another car's behind because it stopped suddenly at the zebra crossing to let students pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting ridiculous, like absolutely ridiculous to get out of there. And it's really dangerous for the kids.
Okay. Do you have much more to say?
My only concern is, when did the DA get exceeded? Because obviously Christian Brothers are aware of when they exceeded their current numbers. Why it's taken so long for that to be notified, how they will get rid of 11 students so that they go under the DA that they're proposing, and what are we going to do in regards to the teachers' parking, as I know quite a fair few students and parents from Lewisham Public School do drop their children off and leave their car there because they have afternoon sports. And there's walking home 20 minutes to get the car or leave it out the front of the school. Currently, there's some days some parents from our school can't park because there's teachers parking there, which I totally understand because they don't have parking on site.
All right. Thank you. Any questions? No? No questions? All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Hayden. The next person I have listed is Stephen Goldberg. Thank you, Mr. Goldberg.
Thank you. I live at 136 Denison Road, which is between Davis Street and Eltham Street, in the same side as Millie Lawson. And I have to unanimously agree with everything the previous speakers have mentioned regarding the behaviour and the volume of traffic. Having, until recent times, been walking or riding to my workplace at Petersham, I have just noted, when riding my bicycle now at 8:15 in the morning for the first time ever, I have copped invective and abuse by parents stuck in the traffic, trying to navigate, do shortcuts, drive over the roundabout at Eltham Street, do anything they can to get that school run done quickly. Now, 17 years ago, we didn't see anything like this, but now it has really built up. It's just getting worse and worse, and that's exacerbated by all those other external factors. But this uncivil behaviour is really a product of overcrowding. That's what happens. I'm not saying these are bad people or anything like that. They're frustrated parents, and I think that's just impacting on this uncivil behaviour as everyone tries to rush to get to wherever they need to go. The reality is, though, is that this school has reached tipping point. It reached tipping point a long time ago, and now they're trying to normalise something that a breach, retrospectively, normalised something that was done quite a while ago. And I mean, if I did unapproved building work on my property that impacted my neighbours, I know what the council would do. They would, you know, come down on me like a ton of bricks. The reality is that the word finite needs to be in part of the vocabulary here. This is a tiny pocket of the inner west. It is a finite patch. The school's already expanded since 2001. It has reached tipping point. It cannot and should not be allowed to take any more people, any more enrolments. Really, the solution is that from 2019, it must look at dropping its numbers. Maybe it can't drop its numbers immediately because of the over-enrolment, but maybe start by dropping its Year 7 enrolments and then progressively bringing it back to the normal levels, because I cannot see a solution to this. I suspect, though, that this school just may continue to try and grow some more. That, like, there's no ceiling to this. And the reality is they have to accept there is a ceiling to everything. And this is a very, very crowded pocket of Sydney. It is now a car park on Tootle Street at 8:15 in the morning between Old and New Canterbury Roads. And it is extremely dangerous. And I, for the first time ever, when crossing those roads in the morning, have felt unsafe.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a moment. Might be some questions.
Yes.
Any questions? Questions? I have one. We've heard from some of the submissions that buses actually queue in Eltham Street they turn into Denison.
That's true, and for the first time ever, just a week, 2 weeks ago, I saw a bus go from Denison into Eltham and down Eltham and into Victoria Street and up Victoria Street.
Right. Well,
these streets are very narrow.
They would be dropping off and picking up from the correct side of the road adjacent to school. But what we'd heard is they actually come from Eltham into Denison Street, which means they're on the wrong side of the road to actually drop off and pick up.
My observation is the buses are becoming a rule unto themselves.
So they don't follow...
No.
They don't appear to follow...
No, they're not.
..a regular route.
They're just doing whatever they can to get out, get in and get out.
So they're doing the same as cars?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? No. All right. Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Now, the next person I've listed is Glenda Pontus de Pos of 15 Eltham Street. Thank you.
Before I start my 3 minutes,
Mr. Pos, I think you had a video you wished to show.
Yes, that's right. I do. It's just what I captured out the front of my house.
Please sit down.
Yeah.
For a start.
I was just going to see if I could hook it up to...
Well, I think the council officers have already told you they can't do that.
Oh,
and I thought we made that clear, but we'll do as we did previously. We'll come down and watch
the video. I apologise. I thought that we couldn't show it at home because it needed to be hooked up. So I apologise. I misunderstood.
All right. But you can show it here?
Excellent.
Okay. Do you agree that we should see that first and then hear what you've got to say?
Yeah.
All right.
I also have 85 images of parents and students driving badly and illegally, and also have an image of a student urinating on someone's property. I know that we don't have time for those 85 images, so I'll just...
Well, show us the important ones. I'll give you a bit longer than 3 minutes, okay? But it'll be at mine and the panel's discretion how long we give you.
Yeah.
So, okay.
For some reason my iPad's not actually.
Thank you. We'll come down now.
Oh, okay. Am I able to do that? Okay. So it's not going to play it. For some reason, it's not playing the video. So I'll just sort of show you.
If anybody else wants to gather around, okay.
I don't know why it's doing that. Maybe I'll just try it on my phone. I'm so sorry. I tried it at home and it was working.
Have you got some images you can just flick through the window?
Well, I've got the 85 images, but I'll just see if quickly.
Sorry. We don't need the urination. I think we can all imagine what that looks like.
Okay, hopefully this will just play. So this is at standstill because the bus can't actually fit all of this traffic all the way up Eltham Street. So this guy's just gone into someone's driveway to let the bus through. They also need to go into the driveway to let the bus through. So that's through. But now it can't get past it because there's another car. Okay, now that's going. So this happens every morning and I can't take my kids to school during this time. We need to wait until 9:05 and then we run to be able to get there before the bell runs, before the bell rings. So that's the traffic out the front because there's just countless buses coming down and the street is not big enough. They've actually taken down two street trees.
So that's two buses we've seen there.
Yeah, usually six come down and two of our street trees have been taken down by them. Yeah. And that's it. And that's it. But that's the traffic in the morning. And when I was 10 years old, I used to walk to school. And now I see it as a privilege that my son may never have.
Can we sit down again? Or have we got
yes.
To
well, that was well, I've got the... I have still images. I wasn't
well,
sure if I was allowed to.
A selection of those.
Yeah. So this is what happens. The bus sits there because there's so many buses down Denison waiting for the children to be loaded on. It's very responsible. The teachers load the kids onto the buses and the buses move on. But because there's so many buses and the street is so small, there's just not enough room. They block the pedestrian. And so for cars to actually keep flowing, they need to go on the wrong side of the road. Pedestrians just have no way of getting through here. This is so dangerous. Council has actually spent, I think it was $15,000 fixing this crossing, and this is it fixed at school zone time. This is fixed. This is what we need to be at. Oh, sorry. We won't look at the urinating child on someone's private property. So this is what happens after school, usually during the end of... high school, they get to burn rubber, as they call it. This is a parent that always picks up on Toot Hill. He drives into a private driveway and then he blocks the footpath until his child goes in. So in the council report there was saying that there's no proof that it's parents, there's no proof that it's students, but these are just the students and the parents. And the buses. And this is a truck from Christian Brothers that was there blocking the footpath during school zone time.
During the one of the peaks?
Well, yeah, it was in the, I think it was in the morning. I was just trying to take my kids to school. You know, this is the kind of thing that, like, if they encountered by themselves, they'd probably go on the road and a car might not see them. And, you know, it's just very low visibility. And that's the kind of thing, you know, parents picking up. This is the street that we walked down this morning. It's just constant. It's just parents trying to pick up their children.
Is that car in a private driveway?
Yeah.
Somebody else's, not their own.
This is not their own, yeah. They don't live there. These are the grandparents of some of the students. They're not the parents. They just drive in to get them. Because it's not, the local area is not adequate for the number of students. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to take up too much of your time with images because I know I've only got 3 minutes to speak. Yeah. So
well, if you think you've shown
this
us
is
enough,
yeah, this is just like the kind of thing that happens. I also have images of the buses doing 3-point turns on Toot Hill, but I'm not sure if we're getting there.
So what, they approach the
okay,
school
this is
the
it.
Wrong way?
Yeah. Sometimes they stop and they ask locals for directions and they ask, where is Christian Brothers? And then we tell them, but then they don't know exactly where the pickup area is. And so it's, there's confusion. And there are two other schools, one there and one here. And this bus is just doing a 3-point turn in the middle of all this.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and if you look at the time, oh no, that's not the right. Oh no, I don't think that's the right time. This is when
so
I transferred
he's had
the
to
photo.
Turn around because he was approaching the school the wrong
way. The wrong way, and this is what happens. You know, the streets are not big enough. Even Toot Hill, which is quite large. Mm. So I wish I had captured down here. See, like the traffic is just at a standstill because the bus was doing a U-turn, a 3-point turn in the middle of Toot Hill and stopping all of their access. And then now it's through. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, actually.
Now, I should ask the panel, do you want to give Mr. Pose any more time? Or?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll give you 3 minutes, but since you've had so much on the video, that's it.
Yeah,
okay?
Thank you so much. I actually timed my thing to 2 minutes and 44 seconds.
Good,
so
let's go. Let's go.
Let's see if I can do it.
Let's go.
So for the past decade, council, police, fire brigade has received many complaints. Over-enrolling was one of them, the alarm system, the buses, and it's taking this long just to get here. How will council stop the over-enrolling and all the other problems in the future? It took 9 years of complaining to get the school to fix its evacuation alarm that would sound for hours in the middle of the night. It actually went off twice today, so it's not fixed yet. If there are no plans to expand, the council report says that there is no proof of that. Why is it that the school is purchasing adjoining properties on the boulevard and on Denison Road? The school's traffic management plan and the council's traffic plan has been unsuccessful because, sadly, a large percentage of people just ignore them. The bigger the number of students enrolled, the bigger the percentage of parents, staff and students that don't follow the road rules or the parking restrictions and ignore the management plans that have been put into place. As stated in council report, we are a low density residential area. Most houses are in protection zones. They have heritage listed. They can't be developed any further. Local streets are not adequate for the size or the quantity of the buses. The Secretary for Transport, Mark Cure, has remarked that the buses go on the wrong side of the bus, the wrong side of the road to go around corners, and that's allowed. This is dangerous, especially as the timing is when the area is full of children and pedestrians. Usually, only a small amount of people take part in consultations and market research, but not in this case. A majority of the locals have objected, even though they weren't all consulted. Please pay attention to the concerns raised by the community. They are aware of the constant problems and have seen a lot more than what one traffic study officer saw during his visit. Please consider referring back to Traffic Committee an independent investigation, as our local community will have to live with the decision that you make today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Any
thank
questions
you.
From the panel? No, thank you very much.
I have have about 300 objections here, and the council report says that there was less than that, but we did manage to get them with receipts and everything from the council, so I'm not really sure why.
300 what?
These are the objections, like just the pro-formers.
Oh, the objections, but, right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we've got quite a comprehensive